Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. And I just want to constantly open up by thanking all the real ones out there. And today's podcast, I'm excited. Why can't I forgive? Breaking free from bitterness, right? So you say you've forgiven, but every now and then the wound still stings. You smile, but deep down inside, you're still holding on to the grudge. Be honest, you're still holding on to the grudge. So let's get real. Why is forgiveness so hard, and why can't you let it go? And what does the Bible say about it? So today on This Is Real, I believe we're going to break some chains. So I got some guests with me that we're going to talk about This Is Real. So Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love, with me I have
Pastor Megan.
And Pastor Ernesto, a.k.a. Truth Teller. What it do?
And so here we're going to be talking about forgiveness. So what it is and what it isn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read a few scriptures and then we'll just jump in, okay?
Yes,
so what forgiveness is, okay, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Colossians 3:13. I don't know, when I read that, I'm like, okay, I'll forgive you, right? Like, yeah. Instantly, facts. Though, if you have kind of have that relationship, I feel like, right? What do you think when you hear that verse?
I mean, I think I better get it together, because if I don't, then I'm not going to be forgiven of anything.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think kind of like what you said, like, man,
I got to forgive. It is sobering,
right? Yeah. Like, I'll forgive.
Yeah, it's like,
okay.
Because
I want to be forgiven by the king of the world, you know what
yes.
I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that's another one. Like, okay, so I feel like when I read that scripture, I'm always thinking that my relationship first is like this. Because, you know, I'm always saying, like, most people have a relationship this way with God. And so what I mean by that is that you're not going to God first. You're not connected to the vine. You're kind of just living like this. And then when stuff goes wrong, then you go to God.
Yeah.
But when I read this, forgive as the Lord forgave you, I feel like because I've received this forgiveness, you know, and it's sometimes every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Facts.
Like it's this waterfall, like this never ending ocean of forgiveness. Yeah. Right. I should forgive you because, you know, I kind of, because I've received it this way first, the overflow of that forgiveness, I feel like you're in a constant reminder of, like, man, of all that God has forgiven me.
I think it even puts a standard on, like, what forgiveness looks like.
All day long.
Because it says, forgive as he has forgiven you.
As the Lord has forgiven
you. Yeah, so the way he's forgiven you, that's how you forgive others. Because sometimes we can forgive conditionally. Or temporarily.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And his forgiveness is like unconditional, right? So
yep. And so Ephesians 4, 31, 32, because I just want to read these verses, then we'll jump in and just start dialoguing, right?
Yes, sir.
Get rid of all bitterness. So I don't think he even leaves room there.
Like, I like that one.
Get rid of all. Yeah. Get rid of it. Forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So forgiveness, just to get things straight, forgiveness is not saying that what the person did is okay. Right. It's not forgetting. It's not restoring trust immediately, because sometimes we require, right? I had a conversation with somebody the other day that was going through some stuff, and, you know, he messed up. And so he, you know, it's like, I want it now. You know, I want trust now.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, like, but you created that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So even that we could chit-chat about. Forgiveness is choosing not to hold the offense against the person, is releasing the debt, even if they never say sorry. Mm-hmm. It's canceling their IOU the same way Jesus canceled yours, right? Because we'll hold an IOU over somebody, right?
Yeah.
So what do you guys think when you think of the topic? Has it ever been hard for you to forgive somebody? Like, be real.
Oh, absolutely. For me specifically, the reason why I feel like it's been hard for me to forgive is because I want other people to hurt. The same pain and the same affliction that was caused to me in my mind, my will, my emotions, my family, my life, I don't want to extend forgiveness because I've wanted to extend hate and rage, because I want you to hurt. I want you to suffer. I want you to, even in Christ, feeling that, because it rises up.
He was like,
it rises
no, because
up.
I wanted to
because
be like,
you want vengeance.
Yeah, totally.
You want to get them back. You want them to hurt, and you want them to feel the same pain that you have felt. So what we're doing is we're actually hurting ourselves. Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's like drinking poison and expecting you not to die, because you are the one hurting yourself by not extending that forgiveness to the other person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you, what you just basically talked about is incarceration, right? You you incarcerated yourself. You've actually locked yourself up.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not forgiving the person. You're thinking it's hurting them too. You're like, I'm not going to forgive you. It's going to hurt you.
Yeah. And they're out there probably living their life completely normal, not even thinking about you or anything that happened. And you're over here in this cage of bitterness.
What were you going to say? How about you? Christ? Yeah, like,
I think that puts more of like, I don't want to say pressure, but a more like a realistic view on it. Because sure. I feel like sometimes people think that when we come into Christ, it's just like everything is just easy to do. But I think forgiveness is one of those things that can be difficult, especially when it's from a place of like, I've helped this person so much, or I've done so much good for this individual, or I've been such an impact. And then they do something that, you know, hurts your feelings or offends you, or they betray you or something. So being able to forgive in that aspect can be a little challenging. And when I was reading that, get rid of all bitterness, like even in that, because sometimes I feel like we say, well, I did forgive them, you know, I did let it go. But inside of you, there's still some sort of bitterness or some sort of resentment and hurt that comes up every time you see them or every time you relive that event. So, yeah, forgiveness is something that I think we sometimes do every single day.
Well, yeah, and, you know, because something you had mentioned, you were like, the pain is deep. And I feel like when you start thinking about the roots of unforgiveness, like I have put down, the pain feels too deep. Mm. They never apologize. So you're actually waiting, you know, because God didn't wait for you to get right. Mm-mm. You know, he went yet while you were a sinner.
Yeah.
Right? He died for you. Yeah, yeah, he initiated. So sometimes the root of unforgiveness is like, well, they didn't say sorry, or they didn't behave. Pretty much we put a person in performance, right? Yeah. And so I think something you said that was important too is that when we were like in the world, we did a lot of that stuff. And then you start going to church and all that. You still got to unlearn and relearn. You're like, you still got to transform your mind, because there's a lot of things that you still want to do exactly how you did it. But in the Christian world, right?
Facts.
You think that you're protecting yourself by not forgiving the person, right? Because you're like, we have these misconceptions that you just got to start going to the movies every day again, right? Like, you think, I want justice. So this could be all root issues, right? it makes me feel like I'm in control, right? Because when, hey, if I don't forgive you, I'm in control. Like, you got to like beg me kind of type thing.
When you're really not.
When you're really not in control. Yeah, you've lost all control at the moment. Forgiveness feels like, this is another one that's kind of like a rooted issue when you have unforgiveness, is that you feel that you're letting them off the hook if you forgive them.
Yeah.
So you stay rooted in that stuff, and it's like carrying a backpack full of rocks and then wondering why you're tired, right? Because that takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, and it's just deception. Mm-hmm. Like even with like thinking we have control, thinking that we have worn up on them, or thinking like it's something that we have ownership of, is just crazy, because the forgiveness, what it does is releases the power over our life.
Totally.
It gives us freedom. It's like what you said earlier. It doesn't say that what they did is right, but it just says, you know, what you did has no power over my life no more. I don't let it offend me. I don't let it control my emotions or my thoughts. So I don't let it harbor bitterness or hate in my heart towards people. I'm free from even making decisions based upon that offense, you know, and I release it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
One of the biggest life lessons I've learned is there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm. Because true forgiveness does not require an apology from the perpetrator or the one that hurt you. So you may be in a situation where the person, maybe they passed away or they are in prison and you have no way to talk to them.
Yeah.
But you're still walking around with this bitterness, this hate, this rage, this anger, because you expect and need an apology from them. But if you truly forgive someone, you don't need to have a single conversation with them about it if there's a true place of forgiveness. But reconciliation is when those two people are able to come back together, have a conversation, mutually apologize, and then start to work back towards, in a healthy way, reconciling that relationship with trust.
That's really good.
You know what's crazy is that our forgiveness is not even what gets people to heaven. Yeah. Like, it's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. that gets them into heaven. So if the person that you're harboring unforgiveness to reconciles with Christ and finds forgiveness there, they're going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't need your forgiveness to get into heaven. They need they need their faith in Christ that they're forgiven through him. That's why I feel like it says right there, it says, forgive as you have been forgiven, or he will not forgive you.
Yeah.
Because, hey, forgiveness doesn't even belong to you.
It's a command also.
Yeah, like, bro, forgiveness is mine. Like,
and a lot of the things that we do is in denying ourselves, right? So when you pretty much forgive somebody, it's really like the Father's forgiving them, right?
Yeah.
That is a thing, because the reality is we don't know how to do that, right? We actually need the Father. So I had wrote down, you know, you got to bring your pain into the light, right? Because you, I always tell people, before you call me, go to God. Like, don't just, I'm not God.
Yeah.
So go to God and then talk to me about what God said to you. And then we can have a dialogue. If you're coming to me, I'm just going to give you God. Learn how to go to God, right? Yes. So, because God, the Bible says that God is near the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. So if you get real with God, before you try to get right with people, like before you try to go get real with people, get real with God. And then I have put, choose forgiveness before you feel it. Because I think a lot of times we think that forgiveness, I got to feel like forgiving you. But forgiveness is a decision of God's will, right? Like when you were like, oh, according to his will. Well, forgiveness is part of his will. Like you're choosing, you're making a decision not based on your emotions. Yeah. So you may need to forgive by faith and then let your feelings catch up.
Yeah.
Right? Like you don't, when I forgive or in a, I add this in everything that I'm crucifying my flesh and I'm trying to follow the desires of God's heart or his will, right? I don't feel like a lot of times we try to do what's right, you know, and we've got to feel, but I don't feel a lot of times. Yeah. Like sometimes after you do it a thousand times, it gets a little easier. So it's like second nature. It's like natural.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, you know, but in some scenarios, you're choosing what you're not. You're not, you're choosing what's right and then allowing, or what's true according to the word, and then the feelings follow. We usually do it the opposite way.
Yeah.
We are led by how we feel, and then when things don't go right, then we want to go to the truth. But but it's supposed to be, at some point, you want to put that in the front end, because that's what actually brings transformation. That's actually love.
And that's part of dying to yourself.
Yeah.
Like dying to yourself, of course, is the nature of yourself.
Yeah.
But it's also the feelings.
Yeah.
Because I feel like our feelings, it's what lords over our flesh. And the spirit is what lords over our soul. And our spirit. So you know when you're dictated, your life is dictated by your feelings when you respond to them all the time. Or you know, based upon, this is how I feel, as opposed to upon moving, this is what the spirit is saying.
Yeah.
This is what God's saying.
Hey, you know, so, okay, so y'all got to be real. So, you know, because I've done this in like a church setting where I asked everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I said, hey, how many of y'all, because the next thing, you know, the first one was that, you know, don't go by your feelings. You know, you got to choose the will of God, right? And then the other one was praying for the offender or praying for the other person.
Yeah.
And so I had asked, so I'm going to ask you the same question I had asked. I said, look, how many of y'all been really upset with somebody, man? You just want to like, you know, and they go like, you know, everybody raises their hands. And, you know, because the premise of that's crazy, no, that's God, is that we all want the that's crazy part, but nobody wants to do the that's God part. And so when we start thinking about, because it usually contradicts even how you think about everything, right? This is why you need Jesus.
Yeah.
This is why heaven on earth, it's dependent upon his will, his desires, his thoughts, right? Yeah. His ways, his truth.
Yeah.
And so then I asked him this follow-up question that I want to ask you. The follow-up question was, how many of y'all, when you were really upset with somebody, the first thing you did is start praying for them? How about the last time you got upset, did you do that?
No.
No.
Why?
Because of pain, because unforgiveness ties us to our past pains and hurts.
Yeah.
And so we always want to find an excuse. We always want to find a reason to say, well, it's their fault. They did it.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a step to think that Jesus, even when he was hanging on the cross, and he was in pain and he was about to die the worst death that anybody's ever felt. And they were casting lots with his clothes in front of him, mocking him.
Yeah.
But he still chose to stay there. We have no excuse.
Yeah. How about you? Go ahead. What were you going to say? Because I cut you off.
No, you're good. It was just, it's thinking about the fact that we can only do it by the Spirit and being submitted to the Lord and having His heart. Because if we don't, and we don't see people that way, then we are going to be led by our feelings, and we're never going to be led by His love.
Yeah. Okay. And you said something powerful, so I'm gonna follow you up with something. Why do you think He put that there? Because you just gave the answer of what. Of why He put that there, but you didn't do it. You get what I'm saying?
No, like, what are you saying?
Okay, I got you. So hold on. I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to show you how you answered it.
Okay.
You know, but the funny part is you didn't do it.
Correct.
Okay. So,
correct.
Why do you think He says to pray for them, right? Because that's so weird. I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. I'm upset.
Yeah.
Like, you want me to pray for them? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Right? So why do you think He put that there?
I think He put that there because it's not about what we want. It's about God's will and what He wants. And when we pray, it softens our hearts.
When you often pray, pretty much it changes you. So
yeah.
You have said that in the back, we got to do His desires. We got to do His thing, right?
Yeah.
But the only way that that happens is that when you're actually praying, mm-hmm. and you're exchanging heaven on earth, you're actually praying. And while you're praying, there's no way that you're praying like you. you're just not going to pray like that because you're going to say you're just not. I've never really heard if somebody's out there praying like that. Wow. But I mean, even though God's not threatened by that, right? It depends where you're at in your walk. But I'm saying most of the time, if you have any kind of walk, you're going to talk to God and you might share some feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. But while you're talking, He's just gentle, man. He's like, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, I forgive mm-hmm. you. You know, so then you're like, okay. Right? So your heart actually gets softened and it crushes bitterness.
Yeah.
Okay, so for you, why didn't you do it? Like when you, boom. Because you know the verse.
I think it's not my nature. Like, it's not my nature to instinctively just want to forgive. That's why I think He says to pray. Because our humanistic nature
But you didn't.
I know.
Why?
But because of my nature.
Yeah.
I felt pain. I felt offended.
You want to be
so realistically? Up? Yeah, I wanted to fight. But realistically, I wanted to throw the chair. Realistically, like my nature is to defend itself. Like mm-hmm. our selfish desires and the nature of our heart is always selfish. So it wants to defend itself. It wants to be like, why did you do this? Or how dare you make me feel like this? And I'll make you feel like how I felt. And but I think that's where the power in relationship and prayer comes in. Where because I can step back, acknowledge that I'm tripping.
Like, all day long.
You know what I mean? And then as I'm praying, God's exchanging my selfish desires and my selfish will for His.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like the key, you know?
Yeah. For me, maybe to like a year ago, like if I'm going to be like generally transparent and vulnerable, don't hold that against me.
Yeah.
And so I knew the verse before. And before, after I got upset and I'm just going to forget. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Lord, as you were saying, kind of starts talking to you, right? And then eventually you're good.
Yeah.
But this last, I'd say about a year now, I've like, the minute I get upset about a person, I literally go to my seat, like sit down somewhere and I started praying. And let me tell you, it's a game changer. Because once you do it like 20, 30, 40 times, instinctively, it's like fixing your hair or something. Like when it happens, your brain goes there like anything else that you learn in the verse, verses, right?
Yeah.
Like you actually start praying. And when you're praying, you just get the heart of the Father. I don't know how to, like, while you're praying, you know, I've given advice to people that were like super angry and they came back, you know, I'm talking like, you know, older women, like Mama Benny and stuff, you know, that like just in conversations. And I was like, hey, try this. And she's like, man, it works. And I'm like, so I've been doing this now on this journey of like, well, if it says it, then I'm going to let me do it. Because what? There has to be something in there.
Yeah.
Right. So
the fact that it compels us to even do it more because of the fruit that it produces.
Absolutely.
Like His character is gentle.
Yeah.
The fruit is always joy, peace. So like when you do these things, this is what manifests in your life.
Yeah.
So now as opposed to like, I know if I don't forgive and I respond in my flesh, it usually produces destruction or hate or rage or something. So if I start doing the opposite and it's producing peace, joy, then of course I wanna do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, so the next thing I have is that you got to release the debt to God. And I think it's something that you had mentioned in one of the podcasts about vengeance, but it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so I have put, forgiveness is trusting that God is the judge and not you. Because I think we even view our view of vengeance is kind of skewed, right? Because everything you said about vengeance in the natural, right? Because I want it, right? We get like that. So then we give, it's almost like we, if there's layers to this thing. So now you're not going to beat him up like that. But God, would you beat him up?
Yeah. Go get him, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We think that vengeance is about God. Vengeance is actually about God making things right. It's not about like petty payback. Like we actually think that. God is like going to literally go, throwing a do-rag.
Angels.
he's gonna just start whooping on the person. And I think that letting go of revenge is a sign of faith. Amen. I feel like when you literally forgive our debtors, right? I feel like it's actually a sign of faith that says that you trust more in God's justice than our emotions. You actually trust that God is going to take care. Because even when...
That's fire.
Even when I started praying in the beginning for people, it would come out kind of sideways because I'm upset.
Yeah.
But as my prayer has progressed, I feel like my prayer sounds like, I'll give you an example, right? Because, so that people can understand. Because in the beginning it was like, you know what, God, like, I don't know, like that. Like more of like a complaint rather than a prayer.
Yeah.
But I felt like the Lord one time said, Juan, like maybe that person still doesn't know this yet. So in his dialogue with me, my prayer became more like, Lord, help them mature or help them learn the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not saved, give them an encounter for them to get saved. Because the reality is one day, in the beginning, as this was progressing, God said to me like, Juan, you would be exactly the same without me.
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, the only reason you have pockets of this goodness is because I'm good and you're choosing to live in me. But don't ever misinterpret that as if you are better than someone else. He goes, because if I remove that, you would do exactly the same thing. You would be a thief, a liar, an adulterer.
Yeah.
You name the thing you're upset about. At that point, you kind of humble yourself, right? Because you're like, dang, he's right, So I believe that as this has progressed, God's justice is greater than how I'm feeling. And his justice might be to actually restore that person or help that person not be a thief. Because that's what you needed.
Yeah. And that's the only way that true conversion and true transformation comes.
Yeah.
It's through Jesus. When they have an encounter with Christ, then you have the hope that, today they might really change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, yeah.
If they don't have an experience with Christ, they might apologize, but they'll do it again tomorrow.
All day long.
Down the line, still going to be in square one, but you're still upset. So if the vengeance in the sense of them encountering Christ and truly transforming, you could bank on the fact that, he might not ever do this again. It's genuine. It's true.
Yeah.
Grace heals and the law is always going to destroy.
Facts.
And the times in my life that I know that my heart got closer to the Father is when grace was extended to me.
Yes.
In situations that it wasn't deserving. Or where I was tripping, or my view, or my opinion, or my pride was in the way. When that grace was extended to me is those moments where I was like, wow, they did that. They actually forgave me, and I was acting a straight fool tripping. And they still love me. They still care about me.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this moment.
And people have always asked me, well, how do you know when you've really forgiven? Like, what are signs? How do you know when that's happened? And I always tell people, for me specifically, one way that I can tell is if you can say their name out loud and not feel this inside of your spirit, that you have to be able to speak their name, because there's power whenever you can speak it out loud, because right then it destroys and it quenches the enemy, so he has no more power over it. And there was a situation in my life that happened from 2016 on where there was somebody that I was just holding bitterness towards and anger. When I would even think about this person, oh my goodness, I would get so, my blood would start to boil, my face would turn red.
Say their name.
And their person, that person's name rhymes with. No, I'm kidding. That was in the great
memories of Stephanie. And it wasn't until one day that I realized they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing. They're literally, they don't know. And when I had that revelation, I actually, my heart turned from a heart of like anger to compassion. And then I began to pray for them. And I believe that if I were to see this person again today, I would be able to hug them and say, hey, how are you? And genuinely mean it. Where any time before that, you would have got slapped.
Dang. Yo, this just got really real.
This is not really got slapped.
I'm being serious.
Yeah, I think something that, you know, something that's important too, and I put this repeat if needed because my wife actually said this to me one time and I just thought it was really, really good. Because sometimes in this life of living forgiveness, it's not a one and done, right? It's not like something that you forgave sometimes, but you know, because my wife told me one time with this person, she said, I forgave, but there's moments where it resurfaces because yes. something triggers it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that doesn't mean that it didn't work, like that I didn't forgive. It just means that I'm constantly healing, you know, because you did the whole counseling thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's like, what it actually means is that sometimes that forgiveness happens progressively. It's not a one and done. Like, just because yes. you've forgiven, and let's say a year later, 2 years later, because I think that happened to you in a sense when it came to marriage, right? But something might trigger that offense and it resurfaces because it's not completely healed.
Yeah.
And something happens. Don't think that your forgiveness didn't work or don't think that you didn't forgive. Mm-hmm. You did. Only the enemy will tell you that. It's just that you're still healing.
Yeah.
So until that's healed, you know, you might have some moments. So it's not a one and done. It's kind of what I'm saying.
I think it's also evidence of our nature.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the offense can be so, I don't know, catastrophic to the person that when they relive it or rethink it, it just flushes their flesh. And that's how sometimes you know it's supernatural, because you got to forgive again. You got to be like, you know, I realistically inside, maybe I couldn't forgive this, but because of Jesus, I can forgive and I forgive again. I choose to forgive again. I think about like Brian, like his, you know, if you know who murdered your brother, your twin brother, like that's something that you probably have to forgive every single day. And you're thinking the fact of like, I could have helped, or I could have stepped in, or I can go back and get them based upon how you live, right? Like,
yes,
when you start thinking about those things, it's only natural for your flesh to be like, yeah, but no, I don't live like that no more. I live in Christ, you know, that power has died. So even it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven, it's just meaning, hey, I live in this flesh that its nature is revenge, is hate, is offense, but I'm dying to it. And I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to live supernaturally. I'm choosing to glorify God. So, yes, I forgive again.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really good. I think there's a fruit to forgiveness. When you let it go, right, you start experiencing freedom. You sleep better.
Yeah.
I mean,
you get better rest. Right?
I mean, you just really do.
You get 8 hours
like,
of sleep.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, you guys are in ministry and all that. Yeah. And every now and then you get the yuck.
Yeah,
man, to shake that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
You feel like that.
Yeah,
like I don't know. It could be with your spouse. It could be with your friends, right? You just feel yuck, and you almost have to have that conversation. Because if you don't have that conversation,
like you're
just like, ugh. Yeah. And if it's at night and you can't talk for like, the next day, I don't know. For me, that's like, I just feel like I can't. Think I can't write sermon, I can't do nothing because I'm so consumed by like I need to have this conversation.
your sermon has a verse.
Yes. You also experience reconnecting with God and other people. You also become the grace living through you.
Ooh, it's fire. The vessel.
Yes, you become the vessel of grace living through you. Your heart becomes soft again. Right? You don't look like you've been baptized in vinegar or like Tabasco sauce. You start living like Christ because he forgave his murderers on the cross. Like everything's about dying on the cross, right? The gospel. Yeah. Forgiveness is gospel centered, right? When bitterness, you know, it's uprooted, grace flows freely, forgiveness becomes possible, and peace restores relationships, right? All peace is restored in every relationship you have when that when you, that goes away, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I call it the yuck, you know.
Yeah. But, the burden.
Yeah.
The monkey.
Yeah. You know, I think yesterday I was telling you this. I was thinking about like the disciples just chilling with Jesus, you know, because I was thinking about forgiveness, good. You know. And I'm thinking like we're all walking. And one of them says to Jesus, he's like, Jesus, how many times must I forgive? So like I stopped there because I was like, wait a minute. So let's say we're all hanging out. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the office hanging out. And somebody's like, press one. How many times? Like, you know, they must have been arguing. Somebody in that group must have been arguing a lot.
How many times do I gotta forgive?
He's asking them, right? Yeah. They're only hanging out with themselves. There's nobody. They're all hanging out.
Yeah.
What caused them to ask the questions? They were beefing.
Yeah.
They were already, like, frustrated, right, with each other. They had to. Because, yep, I mean, yep, you see all them always beefing with each other.
Yeah.
These people beefing. That means they were conflict.
Yeah.
Conflict. In case you're watching, you understand. They were having conflict with one another.
There was tension,
they were disagreeing. There was tension. Yeah. There was a Houston, we have a problem. And so, yo, you didn't ask that question. I'm telling you, he didn't ask that question with the thought of what Jesus was going to say to him. He was asking that question with the hope to say,
like, so
well,
Lord,
if they did this, then you don't have to. Or something that pretty much, because that's what we're looking for, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't share the whole story. We share half the story
so
you can get agreement, right?
Yeah,
you're building a case. Yeah, you're building a case. So I think on the cool, I think he's building a case. He's like, so how many times?
Yeah.
Waiting for that answer.
Yeah.
20, Lord?
Yeah. Yeah, not even that. Yeah. I'm thinking if somebody asked me that, And let's say I didn't have the word, you'd be expecting, well, if they did this, then you don't have to forgive.
Exactly. Yeah. What they do. What
Something,
was it?
What was it?
How
what,
many
that's
times?
The
or who was it? Who did it?
Who did it? And how, yeah. And like, yeah, maybe cut him off. Like, because we live in a cancel culture, fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He hits him with the okie doke, right? He's waiting. Maybe the dude in the group that he knows he's asking that question, because you're because you have conflict with him. You're the one. And you're waiting for that answer too. And maybe you're waiting for that answer too. And he's like, 70 times 7. Yeah. That's 490. And I believe in the context of that, it's in one day.
Yeah. You think he was like, I don't have a calculator.
That's a lot. I think he did give him that number to because if you're thinking of all the other answers and you're not thinking of 490 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, Lord, 490 times. Yeah. You know that if you probably did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the other dude was like, hee hee hee.
That's where we also say things like, oh, I need to have my healthy boundaries because, you know, this or that. But I think sometimes I've used that as an excuse before. Oh, I'm going to have healthy boundaries so this person doesn't cross.
Sure.
Because it's almost like a cop-out to not be able to forgive somebody, but then knowing when to not allow somebody to walk all over you repetitively over and over and over again.
Sure.
So there's a healthy balance there too.
Absolutely. And you know, I don't know, because grace is needed because we're flawed.
Mm-hmm.
So another conversation I had with a gentleman where they were like, yeah, we're both living, because it was a grace and contract, we're both living in grace.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, but when stuff goes wrong, we wind up over here. And I'm like, then you're not living in grace. You're living in performance, right? Like, if you behave this way. So, yes, healthy boundaries. But I believe, like, because, you know, we're just people that just heighten everything. You know, we go way over there. So I think, like, biblically, it also tells you, like, go with a person. If not, go with two people. And if not after that, then dust your feet.
Yeah.
Right? So then you create some boundaries.
Right. Yeah.
But because they were like, well, I don't want to feel like a mat. And I was like, but if he's, so let's say the person's not where you're at,
mm-hmm,
but they are showing that they're putting forth an effort.
Correct.
That might not match your standard, but to Jesus, he's like, he's putting forth an effort.
Mm-hmm.
Then you almost got to take some of the, because they're constantly growing. Maybe they're one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 5 months, you know, and you're really still upset. But they're progressively, like, they're at Bible study now, and they've been praying, and they're trying. They've asked for forgiveness. They're walking that out. That still might bother you a little, because sometimes what happens is we put a standard. You went with the person. They repented.
Yeah.
And you're still like, I don't know, because when they come around me, I just feel like.
And you
then you really, like, not You're not giving them grace. Yes. You gave them truth without grace.
And that's what he's addressing is this.
The heart.
Yeah, it's not really so much like, oh, yeah, go restore them. It's more opposed like, how are you doing it? Galatians 6:1, in the spirit of gentleness. Like you that means that in your heart, you truly have to have released whatever's going on for you to really go over there and help that person to restoration.
Yeah.
Because you might go do it over there religiously or pride. Let's say it says protect your heart, or you might lord yourself over them, like from a place of like, I'm better than you.
All day long.
So the idea is that in your heart, you have to be right with God for you even to even do any of that stuff.
Facts. Like
you can't go over there and be restorative or be forgiving if in your heart you're harboring ugliness. Nah, like, bro, go sit down.
And you never give. The overflow doesn't happen until you're filled, right? So, like, you can't overflow nothing. If you genuinely haven't sat down and that's why those who have been forgiven much love much.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of your heart that's like, I was so jacked up. Yeah. I'm still jacked up. And it creates that, I want to do this for other people.
Yeah.
Right? It washes you. Like, it has to wash you before it washes through you. Yes.
Yeah.
Shanda. Man, thank you guys so much for the show. I think it was a good show. Let's give some shout-outs. There's some shout-outs.
Oh, yeah, man. I want to start off by shouting out this Sister Giselle goes to our church, and she has a son and a significant other. I think it's in prison. His name is Juan Vela. He's in Styles Unit.
What's up, Juan?
Yeah, shout out to Styles Unit. We got some letters in here from Style Units as well. And a guy named Jose Flores in Florida. We got a lot of Florida mail.
Florida?
Man. Yeah, we get a lot of mail.
What are some of
the
units you got?
We got Michael's Unit. We got Bacherian Unit. Bacarron. We got Florida. We got a lot of Florida prisons, man. Mark Styles Unit.
We want to come out there, man. Yeah, tell your chaplain.
Yeah, we do. We do want to go to all the prisons. Seminole, Florida. Florida.
Seminole.
Kansas. Yeah, we got a lot of Florida mail.
Yeah, we're like, next week, Pastor Megan, would you please? You're like, we got a... all the prisons.
Yeah. Every prison in the United States.
And so today... If you need to forgive, maybe it's not someone else. Maybe it's yourself because you didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe
sometimes
it's yourself.
We need to forgive ourselves.
Maybe it's even God.
Yeah.
You need to forgive. Mm-hmm. But forgiveness isn't about them. It's about you stepping into freedom. Don't wait to feel it. Choose it.
It's good.
Because grace isn't just something you receive. It's something you give. And that's real. Don't forget that when you want to experience something that's crazy, just follow what God says. And I think it makes it a whole lot easier than you trying to figure it out. Don't overcomplicate God's solution in a problem that you're having. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.